If you have your Bible with you, open it please to Luke chapter 7, verse 36 is where we'll be in just a few minutes. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving Day meal. We're going to have a meal this morning. The beef is on the grill. The guests are arriving. And we ourselves open the front door because our honored guest has arrived. That beef is cooking on the grill back there. Can you smell it? Ah, just catch a whiff of that beef. The whole household is bustling behind us. You can hear people moving around in the background, preparing the dinner, giving instructions. Some are doing some last-second cleanup, making sure everything's ready. This is going to be an interesting day. We anticipate that it will be a sort of test to see if our honored guest is as significant as people have been saying. This is one of those modern first century dinners, whereas we as upstanding people in the community with a pretty good sized home in the community invite this public figure into our home, folks in the community hear about it and they are welcome to come. Now, we've invited certain people, and they will sit around the table on the three couches that they call the triclinium. They'll get to sit there and eat from the meal. Everyone else who comes at their own invitation, they're welcome to come, but they'll be up against the edges of the wall if we eat inside. If we decide to go out in the courtyard, they'll be around the edges of the courtyard. And they can come and just listen quietly to the conversation. That's just, you know, that's acceptable in our culture. And after the meal, if we have leftovers, and I'm sure we will, we've prepared plenty, we'll hand out some of the leftovers if these folks who came on their own initiative ask nicely. People stream in. This guest is very popular, as we anticipated he would be. We greet a few of these people as they come in, some who are more worthy, but really we don't pay attention to most of them. Our eyes are on him, and of course, so are theirs. That's why they've come. His name is Yeshua, or in English, Jesus. Some say he's a prophet. Being Pharisees, you and I, very religious folk, are quite interested in anyone who claims to have some kind of authority from God. We know, on one hand, that not everyone who claims to be sent by God really is. On the other hand, it's been a long time since God sent our people, the Jews, true prophets. It's been about 400 years. The prophet Malachi was the last one. But then there's that man out in the desert, that guy John, they call him John the Baptist, and some people say that he might be a prophet. He's the one the king has locked up in prison for declaring the king was doing what is evil in God's sight. Sounds like something a prophet would do. Well, if he is a prophet, and if God has sent another, that would be a sign that God is preparing to do something great for Israel again. And if that's the case, we would like to be among the first to know. Boy, that beef smells good. We welcome our honored guest into our home, graciously, but not too effusively. The jury's still out on whether he's really a man worthy of high honor or not. Is he a prophet or is he a fake? A servant walks up and whispers in my ear, "Should I bring water for his feet?" No, don't worry about it. They don't look that dirty. We lead him into the dining area, and he reclines at the table. And we do reclining here. It's not like the 21st century where as people gather for a large meal, they all sit in chairs, which if you've got any kind of back problem, it's hard to sit in chairs for very long. We do reclining here, much more comfortable. We put out these flat couches and stretch out on the couch with your head toward the table where the food is and have a cushion there. You lean on the cushion, set your head on one arm, and then with the other hand, you eat your food. Your feet stick out behind you. Very comfortable, quite cozy. Well, it's time to eat. The food is served. There is conversation. And all is going well. And yes, the beef is pretty good. Suddenly, a woman steps out from her place with the community members gathered along the edges of the dining area. And we frown. This is not polite behavior. One is to stay in their place and not interrupt the guests who have been invited to this meal. But then again, maybe she stepped out because she has to leave. Something's come up. She has to leave. That would be okay. But no. What she does next makes us tense up. She goes to Jesus' feet. A woman approaching a man of Jesus standing in public. This, in our culture, is scandalous. But wait a second. This is no surprise. You and I, we know this woman. She has lived a sinful life. She and scandal probably have a relationship that goes way back. You and I, we glance at each other uneasily. Our eyes meet. We could stop all this right here. I could stand up and order her out of the house. But no, let's wait, because we invited Jesus over for this fine dinner to find out who he really is. So let's watch and see what he does. This sinful woman, good people don't do such things in a public setting. She stands there behind Jesus' feet, and she starts to cry. She stands there drawing everyone's attention, ruining our dinner. And she has the audacity to let her tears fall all over Jesus' feet. This is so rude. And then she lets down her hair in public. This is not to be done in our culture. She leans down, and she starts wiping her tears all over his feet with her hair. She's touching him, crying on him, wiping his feet. We knew this woman was sinful. As if all of that weren't enough, now, has she no sense of propriety at all? She starts kissing his feet. If you ever invite me over for dinner, please do not kiss my feet. And then she pulls out a jar. Where did she get the jar? And it's an expensive jar made of alabaster, a whitish, soft rock, easily carved, very beautiful. She opens it and she pours a liquid onto Jesus' feet. It's perfume. The fragrance instantly fills the room. And you know what thought goes through my head? If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, that she is a sinner. He would know. We were hoping to test Jesus, find out if he really is a prophet of God or not. But someone else tested him first. And he's already failed the test. He's letting this sinful woman touch him. Clearly, Jesus recognizes holiness. He accepted our invitation to dinner at our home. But he seems to not recognize sin. He lets this woman touch him. in what's happening here at our dinner is so scandalous that I would not be surprised if someone writes it all down, everything that happened, and publishes it. And people will read it for decades, centuries. 2,000 years from now, they'll still be reading it. In fact, someone did write it down. This is Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Clearly, Jesus is not who we were kind of hoping he would be. But at least the beef is good. Now, Jesus notices that we and everybody else at this dinner have noticed this woman. I mean, how could we not, right? And he says, "Hey, Simon, I have something to tell you." And I say, respectfully, because I don't want him to see that I have doubts about him. That would be awkward. I say, "Tell me, teacher." And he tells this little story. And I've heard that he tells parables and good ones that really get you thinking. I was really expecting something more profound from him than this little story he tells. I mean, this story is so simple, a child could figure out what it means. So I'm just not impressed with this Jesus so far. Here's what he said, verse 40. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. It's like a mini parable, and it's so simple. Obviously, the person who had the bigger debt forgiven is going to love the moneylender more. I expected something more profound, something more connected perhaps to what's going on at this dinner. I expected some rebuke of this sinful woman. And so I sigh. I was rather hoping this Jesus would turn out to be a prophet from God. But and then Jesus turns to the woman and he speaks again, but not to her. He's still speaking to me. Verse 44. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." It was, in all likelihood, the most daring thing she'd ever done. Even more daring than going to the home of a Pharisee who probably knew her past. She planned it out ahead of time and brought a costly jar of perfume. She stayed in the background, as one should at this kind of meal. But then, when the opportune moment came, she stepped out from the crowd gathered around the edges and came to Jesus' feet. Overwhelmed, she wept. Why did she weep? Sin and guilt, perhaps. Shame, but also joy, gratitude, immense gratitude. She wept at his feet. She wept on his feet. The lowliest slave might sometimes have to wash someone's feet with water and wipe them with a towel. But she lowered herself and washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her own hair. And then poured perfume on his feet, anointing them. She violated so many rules of proper decorum in her culture. But how could she not? No one had had the common courtesy to give him water to wash his own feet when he came in off the dusty street. No one had done him the common courtesy of welcoming him with a kiss. No one had put refreshing oil on his head, a sign of deep respect in their culture. But God had done so much for her who deserved so little. How could she not do these things for Jesus? Jesus said to Simon, but I think also to her, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." And Jesus was so right. She had many sins. But he was right about her love, too. She loved God, who knew all her sins and forgave them all. And when Jesus told her, "Your sins are forgiven," and the other guests got caught up in wondering how this man, maybe a prophet, could claim to forgive sins, which only God can do, something entirely different caught her attention. Jesus, this man of God, told her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And this woman of poor reputation, who had just poured out her love on Jesus, when he said, "Go in peace," she did. You know, if we forget to be thankful for how God forgave all our sins when we were baptized into Christ, and how he keeps on forgiving our sins from that point on, we can become kind of like Simon the Pharisee, very pious, very concerned about the things of God, and not very loving toward God. And then when someone we think is far less worthy than we are comes to God and absolutely pours out their love on him, lavishing it on him with tears or with joy, giving him expensive gifts like that perfume, or serving him with amazing energy and dedication, while we sit watching skeptically, thinking how sinful they are, if only Jesus could see it. When that happens, the Lord says so much more graciously than we deserve, "Do you see this woman? This sinner, this person you disapprove of, you see how much they love me? Do you see how thankful they are because they know how much they've been forgiven? Do you see how they do all these things to show their love for me? Things you chose not to do. Who in this picture? Simon or Kevin? Or this woman? Who loves me more? Simon seems to have thought it was Jesus who was being tested at the dinner that day. But it turns out it was Simon himself, to see whether he loved God and was truly thankful for God's forgiveness. God promised that he takes away our sin when we come to Jesus. Acts 2, verse 38, one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So if you've been baptized, if you have promised your life to Jesus, then that's great. So now, how well are you loving him? How do you show him how grateful you are for his love for you? On this Thanksgiving weekend and throughout this next year, show God how grateful you are for the forgiveness he gives us. Pour out your love for him like that woman did. Just pour it out. Step out from the crowd and pour out your love for Jesus. Now the meal is done. The guests have all gone home. And you know, I can't recall whether that beef was good or not. Somehow I've forgotten. That woman, she didn't say a single word. And yet somehow she spoke a message that I can't get out of my head. And Jesus, his little story that I poo-pooed, the story about the people who owed money and it was all forgiven, that story haunts me as I clean up after the dinner. Have I really been forgiven so little? How is it that she, who led such a sinful life, could love God more than I do? It can't be. And yet she wept at his feet, wiped them with her hair, kissed his feet, poured out perfume on them. The scent of it still lingers in the air. She did all these things that I wouldn't do. Is there anything I can do to show my love for God like she does? Would I step out of the crowd like she did just to love Jesus no matter what people think? Would I weep at Jesus' feet? Would I go out and show and serve God more courageously, more faithfully, just to show him how much I love him? What could you do to go the extra mile this week to show God how grateful you are for his forgiveness and for all his kindness? What could you do? Of course, it wouldn't be the extra mile at all, would it? Because when we go all out for God, that's still only a fraction of what he deserves, and only a fraction of the love that we long to show him. We want to love God more. We want to show it more. Somehow, without speaking a word, that sinful, repentant, grateful woman standing out on the edge of the meal taught us so much about what it means to love God, what it means to love God greatly, and not just a little bit. May God grant us the strength this week to go out and love him greatly. And may God bless you. Let's pray. Lord God, forgive us for the times when we who claim to know you are kind of calloused toward you. When we don't bring water for Jesus' feet, we don't give him a kiss of welcome, we don't anoint his head with oil. When we just kind of do the very basic things and are satisfied with that, Lord, forgive us. We don't want our hearts to be hard towards you, but soft. And so bless our hearts, Lord. Soften them up. Help our hearts, Lord, to be filled with a deep and profound love for you, because we recognize how much we've been forgiven through Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross. We remembered it a few minutes ago in the bread and the cup. Fill us, Lord, with the faith and the hope and the love that Jim talked about a little bit ago. Guide our hearts closer to you. Help us to show how much we love you. Thank you for that woman and all her courage. Thank you for what she and Jesus taught us about loving you. Help us this week, Lord, as we remember the Thanksgiving holiday and all the things we gave you thanks for. Help us to gratefully show how much we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.